Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas.
Obviously, I'm sounding a little bit raspy, and hopefully my voice still carries okay. The good news is God planned for all this. Believe me, when I started getting bronchitis, there was a part of me that thought, well, it's time to bail. Let me punt. And, you know, we certainly have Paul. We have David. Could certainly do this. But God still worked on my heart and said, no. It's going to be a very unusual service today. Very unusual. And it's because, not because I designed it that way. I really have no interest in that. I have no interest in you guys hearing from me. It's going to be unusual because God's going to make it that way. And you're going to see how that unfolds in a minute. But that also requires some participation on your part. Particularly because my voice is going, I want to kind of borrow a little bit at the beginning and the end if I can. And I haven't prearranged this. This makes these guys in the back really crazy. But if I can, I do want to read the scripture that we have in Philippians. But because my voice is gone, I actually want a couple of the kids, if you can, Shane and Trent, if you don't mind, would you be willing to come read our scripture and then we'll pray? Yeah, and then I'll do some speaking after that. But I just, let me grab this mic. And I do want them to, I love that, that's clever. If you will, gentlemen, it's Philippians 4 through 13. And if you guys will just divide out maybe, you can take the first few and you can take the next few. And if you'll do that, we'll pray after that.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy,
meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for helping and being willing to serve. A common passage that we're familiar with, a beautiful passage, and it does my heart good to know, you know, if I keeled over today, we've got people who can serve. And I look for these young men and you know, young women to actually take over someday and continue the work that God began in generations before us, right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I just thank you for the day that you've given us. I thank you for the beautiful weather, the reprieve in the heat, the rain that you've given us. Lord, we're without Pastor Frady today, but we ask you to bless the things that he and his wife are doing. But we also ask, Lord, that you come and be present among us as you always are. Lord, that you guide us and direct us and you speak through your word. And Father, that you take out any of the words that I have, and you only speak through your word, and you give us an understanding. Lord, I thank you that even though I've not been well in the last few days, that you've given me enough health and have guided me and ushered me with the Holy Spirit to continue to strive to preach in your name, to deliver the word. Now we just ask that you bless it In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So what's really, really super important here today is that we learn through this message. You know, Paul wrote Philippians when he was in prison, and so he has a particularly unique aspect on how he thinks about the presence of God, practicing the presence of God. And Satan, as we know, is always trying to distract us. For instance, it's not unusual. I've had this happen before. You know, we put our cell phones on silence, and I put mine on vibrate. And I've been sitting at the piano sometimes on a Sunday playing, and off the thing goes. And somebody's trying to call me on a Sunday morning. I don't know if you all remember a few weeks or months back, I actually took my phone and I pitched it away because it got in the way of worship. It got in the way of practicing the presence of God. We can have all kinds of distractions that that begin to make it really hard to hear what I'm saying. And I don't know if you guys, if you in particular can pay attention to what I'm trying to say, but we're going to read the scriptures a little more. We're going to expound on it. And it's important that you intently listen. Is that helping any? How many of you all could stand an entire sermon with that going on? Bob. Did you see the guys in the back that were... That was distracting. Does Satan use those kind of distractions when we try to get before the Lord? Absolutely. And to be honest with you, I take the bait a lot. And I know that means that we as a congregation, we take the bait a lot. This last week has been full of spiritual distractions and physical and everything else that you can think of. So Satan has a weapon. I actually call this sort of spiritual noise or jamming. Do you know in warfare what jamming is? Put the picture up of the airplane. Anybody know what that is? That's a Navy EA-6B Prowler. And its job, it's been replaced by an F-18 Prowler, is what they call it. But this thing is an amazing piece of equipment. When our forces go into war against an enemy, these things put off so many different kinds of electronic noise that radar screens that the enemies use, their telecommunication systems, everything, it all goes down. It goes black. It goes blank. The signals are being jammed. And furthermore, in addition to being able to jam signals and take out radars and things like that, this is able to send out decoys so that if any signal doesn't get jammed, these things, they have little other missile-like things that go out that look like airplanes to the enemy, and they're just decoys. And then if the enemy turns on their radars, they even carry these things called, if I got it right, HARMS, high-speed anti-radiation missiles that are designed to destroy the enemy. I mean, they're jamming. And Satan does this kind of thing. So much noise, like my gravelly voice, that it becomes hard to listen to what God wants to say. He's weaponized. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaming around like a roaring lion," right? He's ready to attack. He's ready to jam your signals with God. And he uses distractions and deceptions to do that. First of all, we're physical beings that are also emotional beings that are also spiritual beings. So when I was jamming the signal that I was trying to give you a few minutes ago, when I was trying to speak, by jamming, what was I using? I was using visual things. The guys back there had noise and they had lasers, and you heard the noises and things up here. So I was trying to distract your physical senses. Could you very easily engage with and worship the Lord like that? It's just physical stuff, right? But it's attached to your emotional and your spiritual body, your soul. It's all one thing. So when you're sick, like I'm sick, you know, right now, that can have an effect on your ability to commune with, to hear, to worship the Lord. All right? So he uses these distractions to cut our communications with God so that essentially he makes us ineffective as soldiers of the Lord. That's his goal. His goal right now, and some of you have struggled with this this week. Some of you may be struggling with this during the service. His goal is to make you ineffective. I'll tell you, I'll give you a good for instance, and it shocked me this week. So I fly off to Kansas City, and the first thing that happens as I'm driving from the airport to the hotel is there's this big wreck on I-435, and the whole interstate was shut down, and they were diverting traffic off. And so there's police everywhere, and I'm off on a shoulder. We're moving about 3 miles an hour, and all of a sudden some guy comes peeling about 80 miles an hour down the shoulder. Nobody's going to stop him, except there's nowhere for him to go. And he nearly ran into us. He screeched. I am absolutely convinced that there was an angel that kept me from getting hit. And even right there in front of the police, all he did was honk, spin his tires, and go about 80 miles an hour down a street. And they didn't pursue. But there was a moment in time, this is where I'm getting with this distraction, there was a moment in time where I was so angry and I was so mad that I wanted to peel out and ram right into him. And if I could have killed him, I would have. Yeah, some of you are shocked. You're saying, not you. You think that came from the Spirit of the Lord? Did God tell me to feel that way? Well, that was my own human fleshly nature. But where do you think that, who prompts those feelings? Who loves it when that occurs? Satan. Satan wanted me to hate that man. Satan wanted me to wish bad things on that guy. I had a week full of just disasters, including getting sick, where it was, Satan obviously was just loving using his spiritual jamming, his spiritual noise, to try to affect my relationship with God. He wants me to stand up here right now and be completely ineffective. And boy, but for the grace of God, I do. I feel completely ineffective, except that it's not up to me, it's up to God. So he's using his weapons. What are some of the weapons that he uses? Number one is he'll use decoys. Now, when I say decoys, what exactly are that? Those things? Those are the things that will distract us and take us away from keeping our mind on God, of doing God's things. So we had Vacation Bible School this week, and a lot of you devoted a lot of time to it, worked very hard, and the fruits of it are showing. But as we live our daily lives, we tend to get into things that distract us, like what? TV, movies, music, the kinds of music we listen to, which may or may not be good. I have to constantly monitor what my kids listen to, because they'll say, yeah, it's got some bad words in it, but it's a good song. You just ignore the bad words. Well, you ignore them until you hear them come out of your kid's mouth, right? Those things are bad. They are spiritual distractions. The possessions we have, the things we go after, the materialistic things, those are decoys. Those are distractions. We can be decoyed by just trying to take care of the possessions we have, where we have so much stuff to protect that it's almost like the world's got its fingers around our ankles trying to drag us down. The jamming signals that come from music and TV and movies that we probably ought not to be watching, and just honestly not being good stewards of God's time. I'm not against us having entertainment. I'm not against us enjoying our lives and having recreation. Jesus demonstrated the need for recreation at times. But I'm saying that these things can be jamming signals. The weapons that Satan uses. What are some of the weapons? Weapon number one. Nobody has to confess to this, but I can probably see it in your eyes. Did anybody have a fight this morning on the way to church or before church? I heard a couple of snickers, probably so. Relationships. Satan loves to use strife in our relationships as weapons to keep us from the presence of God. And if I'm going to have a fight with somebody, it's almost always going to be on a Sunday morning. I hate that. Any testimonies we want to give? No. But God also uses the relationships, you know, the brokenness that we have in relationships. So, we have husbands and wives that don't necessarily have the best relationships in the world. We have kids estranged from their parents. We have all, and you know, our congregation is full of that too, because the world's full of that. And Satan will use relationships against us. I mean, I've literally had people from other ministries, other churches, before explain to me, tell me, that I am spiritually wayward because I don't give credence to certain relationships over the service of God in the church. I'm not going to expound on that. I'm just going to say that you have people looking at it and saying, oh, you know, that's God can't be in that. I'll let God speak to that. I can't. Attacks of the flesh, and that would be things about our health and our life, right? So right now I've got bronchitis. It's an attack on the flesh. It makes me less effective at giving you, delivering to you the word of God. I'm not all there because, for among other things, I haven't slept very well for several nights. A little loopy in the head. But we have attacks, you know, also other attacks of the flesh, and that is our own fleshly desires. I haven't missed too many meals. I don't work out too much. Our body is the temple of the Lord, and guess what? God, Satan can use our own fleshly desires against us to jam our spiritual signals from God. God means for us to be good stewards of our finances. Satan will use financial issues to spiritually jam our communications with the Lord. You can't serve God and materials, right? Mammon, the god of materials. You can't serve God and mammon. You got to choose one or the other. You can't serve both masters. And yet we find ourselves financially sometimes in a situation where we say, here's the God thing, and here's what I want to do. And so Satan will use finances. Satan, especially for God's people, loves to use bad news to drag you down. I've taken a little while to get to this one. I'm sorry I have. But thinking about Philippians, he loves to use bad news in the decay of the world. I mean, I almost get to the point where I can't watch the news anymore, right? Because of all of the horrible things that are going on in the world. And I'm actually going to demonstrate this to you. I'm going to demonstrate the effect, although I'm going to give you the PG version of it. So I've got about, 5 slides. Ray, if you're going to bring those up. Here's one that is just fresh out of the news from yesterday. Several hundred Christian men, women, and even children have been executed in places like Syria and Egypt for the name of Christ. It grieves me when I hear this. Yeah, they are martyrs for the sake of Christ, and they'll have their reward, but there's a lot of hatred going on right now. Now, folks, this is a picture of a burned-out church. Some of the pictures I can't show in church. It's not the PG version, but I know how it makes you feel to see this. Next slide. This was one of the stars of, and I can't stand reality TV. I'm sorry, because it's not reality. It is. There's nothing real about it. But this was one of those dating show things. Okay, thank you. Very beautiful young lady, right? Good show? What a downer. You see how young and beautiful she is? And yet she got despondent and felt like life, I think she was 26 or 29, life's no longer worth living. So she killed herself. You know, wonderful, wonderful news. Next slide. Okay, this was the, and I'm not trying to, you know, pick things out of the news and start making news issues, but this was the senator who did the filibuster to you know, prevent the bill that helps protect women's lives and babies' lives as well. She was arguing for the pro-choice, you know, pro-abortion. And now she's in Vogue magazine. They've got a kind of a spread on her. What a wonderful person she is. I tell you what, I don't mean bad things for her. I hope God intervenes in her life. But I really wouldn't want to stand before God and explain why I was arguing for the pro-death side. Let's call it what it is. And, you know, yes, this is going out. It's streaming. Anything that doesn't protect God's life, his blessings, is pro-death. I'm sorry. Not going to talk about that in the sermon today. That's not going to be our sermon. But there's one thing in the news. Go ahead, next one. Okay, finances. Anybody here know what the Hindenburg Omen is? Have you heard of that? These are signs in the marketplace that they use statistically to look at the ups and the downs and the changes and all that. I don't know the specifics of it, but they're saying that the last time the Hindenburg Omen took place was in 2008 when the stock market crashed and recession hit and, you know, millions of people went unemployed. So, you know, more bad news, right? Another one. And finally, racial strife. When I was a kid, I remember during the civil rights marches, all the hatred and anger that took place racially, and it was a tough time. And I'm seeing a lot of anger and hatred, again, racially, cropping up in all kinds of ways. Not going to comment on it, but just, this is a mural that shows another guy shooting a fella because of his race is what the mural is presenting. That grieves your heart, doesn't it? Okay, that's good enough with the slides. What effect does that have on you? Physically, emotionally, spiritually? Well, I'll tell you what it does to you physically. When you see things like that, it pumps more stress into your system. So it introduces cortisol, high cortisol levels. It introduces a lot of adrenaline. You get uptight, your blood pressure goes up. You start getting angry. You start getting upset. And it even affects your immune system so that you're more susceptible to getting bronchitis or whatever. It has a physical effect on you. And it has an emotional effect on you. But it also, according to this word, it also has a spiritual effect on you. I mean, it's a lot like, you remember when Peter stepped out of the boat, there was a big storm and they were afraid they were going to sink and die. And here was Jesus, and Jesus calls him out of the boat. And Peter steps out of the boat, and he's walking on water toward Jesus. And then what happens? He starts seeing the wind and the waves. And it has a physical effect on him. He starts sinking, and an emotional effect on him. And it has a spiritual effect because he took his eyes off Jesus. And the spiritual effect is he began to sink. His faith began to wane. And so it had its spiritual effect as well. That's what this stuff does. I'm not saying don't ever watch the news. I have to see what's going on. We have to be involved in what's happening in our country. But you can't dwell on that stuff. You cannot dwell on that stuff. It will make you sick. Emotionally, spiritually, physically, it will make you sick. The good news is that God designed countermeasures. Dare I say it this way? God designed an effective countermeasure that Satan can't do anything about. It's a weapon so powerful that Satan has absolutely no way to defeat it. See, God knows our weaknesses. He knows our flesh. Jesus came to live in the flesh. Jesus lived out all of the things that we're living. And Jesus demonstrated himself how we're to respond to those kinds of things. He knows we're susceptible to what we see, hear, and feel. I think I referred to this. Let me open it up. Matthew 14, 29 and 30, if you want to look on with me. I should have had this marked a little better. That made it faster for me. And this is that passage. So this in 29, he said, "Come," that's Jesus, "and when Peter came down out of the boat and walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind was boisterous and he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out," what? "Lord, save me." He at least knew who could save him. So God's design, his mechanism, he actually left a trail of examples. The sermon title actually is Selah. Selah is not a word that appears anywhere in the New Testament. In fact, Selah is a kind of a confusing word for a lot of biblical scholars. If you read through the Psalms frequently, you'll find this term, Selah. And Selah is actually a poetic or a musical term. And it means to take a pause and meditate. And the way that it was used in the reading of the Psalms or the singing of the Psalms is, when you saw that, the length of the pause was dependent upon your need to meditate and commune and to be in the feel the presence of the Lord. It was actually an accounting term. I'll give you a little bit more about that in a minute, how it's used. But it's what Jesus did. For instance, when he went into the wilderness, he took a Selah. It was a very long pause, right? It's what the apostles did when they were in the room waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. Yeah, they were eating and they were praying together, but they took this moment of meditation, a Selah, to wait for the Holy Spirit to do his work. It's what Paul was doing when he was in prison and he had nowhere else to go and he was waiting upon the Lord. He took time, he took a rest, a pause, Selah, to wait and hear from the Lord. The word that we have in Philippians is actually, there's a ton of Greek words here, so I don't want to go through them all, but logizomai. And it's the equivalent of calculating or accounting. So let's see how this is used in the Scripture. Let's look at Philippians 4, verse 8. "Finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, what things are pure, what things are lovely, what things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, logizomai, think on these things." It actually is an accounting term. It means to calculate out. It means to account. Now, some of you probably had jobs and may still have jobs where at the end of the year or the beginning of the year or whatever, you have to, for tax purposes, you have to go do an inventory. You have to take an account of everything that you have, everything that you've been blessed with in your business. And so you go through and you go item by item. You don't stop with looking at the whole. Let's say it's a Walmart. You don't look at it all and say, "Well, I think there's about $3 million there." That's not accounting. That's not logomazai. You actually go, you also don't go just down one aisle and say, "Okay, here's five things and I'm pretty well done," or "I'll just kind of estimate." What do you have to do? You have to go row by row. You ever seen them do this? Little scanners and their little tags, and they go row by row and they get it all. Now, they might honestly make a mistake here and there, but how long would it take you to do an accounting of God's blessings in your life, about whatsoever things are true and honest and just and pure, etc.? How long would that take? If we stopped right now and did it, how long would we be here? Essentially forever, right? Well, I'm not advising that we do that because I do, you know, think you guys probably want to go home at some point. Sooner than later, maybe, I don't know. But we stop short when we just say, thank you, God, for the food. You know, God is great, God is good, thank you. Let's thank him for food. We stop short. We need to be in a continual spirit of concentrating, of meditating, of in the presence of God, experiencing his blessings and taking an account of them. Again, to use those words, whatsoever things are true, the literal word that's used there is the spoken truth or revealed truth. I mean, who is the revealed truth? Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh. Jesus. I mean, when Jesus was with Pilate, Jesus said that nothing can be revealed to you except from the Father in heaven about what is true. The thing that he was actually doing, Pilate was a big believer that if you could understand truth, you could become like God. And in exasperation, Pilate says, what is truth? He never found it. And yet it was standing right in front of him. It was Jesus. Jesus. Whatsoever things are honest, that means the deeds that we do that are honorable. Whatsoever things are just, that means righteous or innocent. Whatsoever things are pure, that means clean. Are we clean before the Lord? When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Whatsoever things are clean, whatsoever things are lovely and pleasing, whatsoever things are of good report, that means whatsoever things are spoken kindly. How often is it today in your world that you hear kind words spoken? I mean, it's rare. If there be any virtue that's moral goodness or any praise, then calculate, account on these things. So, I told you that this is kind of an odd service, because this is not an unfamiliar passage, but it's an unfamiliar way of thinking about how do we unjam those signals that Satan sends out that try to keep us from God's presence. And we have the template right here, is to account for, to concentrate on whatsoever things are good, pure, honest, spoken kindly, whatsoever things are lovely. I've got four more slides, I think. How do you react to that? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He created this. I've actually been here. That's Lake Louise. Gorgeous place. I mean, God created that. Next slide. All right, puppies and kittens. Aww. All creatures great and small. Who doesn't love puppies and kittens? Yeah, you're going to awe a little more here. Next one. I'm sorry, folks. I just can't look at the beauty of a baby without understanding that God, he endorses life. Man, isn't that beautiful? Don't you just want to hold that baby and love that baby? Next one. Someday, hallelujah, we get to stand, kneel before our Lord. He'll receive us. He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servants. An eternity in his presence. It actually begins when we bring ourselves into his presence by what? Accounting. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure. To end this worship service, yeah, we do want to have an invitation, but I actually want to take a few minutes of testimony time. And I don't know if I'm going over or not. I'm actually not. That's good. And I want us just as a congregation to spend a few minutes while I quietly play some music. And this is going to make you guys crazy in the back again. But there's a microphone up here. And if you want to come, just give your praise to the Lord and give an accounting for whatsoever things are good and lovely and kind and gentle, and just praise Him for the blessings. I want to take a few minutes to do that in worship. Okay? So I'm going to play. And if you feel the urging of the Holy Spirit, please do. Come on up and give God some glory and praise.
I want to give thanks to God for giving me, for giving me the opportunity to work at VBS this last week. There was a song that we sang that was called, I think it was called Worthy. And of course it was a slow song, and I was towards the back. And while we were singing the song, and they do this, to say that, you know, God is worthy. Jesus is this. When they said Jesus is worthy, and I just started crying, like, not like this, but the tears were just coming down because I could see how much they loved the song, and I could hear them singing, and the music was turned down, but when I heard their voices and I saw the sign language that they were doing, I just felt really blessed. I mean, it was amazing. The whole week was amazing. And I was not amazed that so many children gave their life to Christ on Friday night, because I had said in my prayer before I walked in this building that your word never returns void. And I believe that before the whole week started. And I also want to thank God for, I don't even know what day it was. I got up and I felt horrible. I was sick. And I went to work. I got up and I said I was not going to miss work and I was not going to miss VBS. And I just laid my hands on myself like I always do. And I asked God to heal me. And I told Him that please let me serve you today, because I am going to VBS. I don't care if I'm sick. I made a commitment to go to church tonight, and I'm going to go no matter what. And at 8:15, a boss called a meeting, and that was pretty much it for the day. And I just took some pills, and I was perfectly fine. But I used that as part of my testimony that evening for the lesson. So I just want to give Him praise. Thank you, Lord.
First of all, I want to thank Drew for the first time I heard him preach. He preached on a little servant girl that helped her master go to the waters to be healed. And at first he wouldn't listen to her. And it was as if, you're my servant. You're just, you know, you don't know. When he listened to her, he went to the waters and it cured him of his illness. Therefore, she became the servant of the Lord. So the time when I first heard Drew preach that, it made me want to be a servant of the Lord. I'm 58 years old. I have become a full-fledged servant of the Lord. He has followed me. He has been beside me through so many bad things. He been through my surgery. He has given me a complete report that I'm healing well. And goodness gracious, for long I'll be away with this cane, but soon, it won't be long. But with his guidance, with his strength, and with his love, he has brought me my wonderful husband. He has brought us to this church that I cannot do without you people. You guys have been there for me through hard times and cheerful times. God knows how much you touch my heart, and I really appreciate it. So I want to give thanks to the Lord because he has stood by me through many, many, many hard times when he has told me, Deborah, no. Deborah, it's not time. Your life is still fulfilled. Your life is still waiting for other answers. Your life is here to be touched by other people. So for this, I wish to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting me be part of this beautiful church family. Thank you.
Who can't be in the presence of God when you hear that? I don't want to close too early.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to tell you about a terrible time in our life. Hasn't quite been a year ago. We lost my blessed mother-in-law, Chuck's mom. We went through a terrible, terrible time whenever we lost her, not just losing her, but other things going on that I won't go into. But it was the love of God that got us all through it. And going through these terrible times, it just drew me closer to God and coming here to church and hearing his word. And we've survived it. And I know it was only by the grace of God that we did. And I give all the glory to him. Thank you.
Over. We made that remark one time and people thought we meant monetarily, financially. And someone made the remark, well, give me some of it. Only God can do that. Only God can give that to you. We have been so blessed to have such a loving family here all these 30-something years. We know that God brought us to this church. We were from a large church. But the love, the first time we walked in here, was so overwhelming. It was family. I've been remiss in serving the Lord through the years, but He's always been there with me. I had a precious and loving and godly earthly father, so it made it so much easier for me to accept my Heavenly Father, my Abba, oh, my Daddy. I've made the remark several times. It's so good to climb up in my Daddy's lap when He has His arms around me. I've told Him all the bad things, the good things. I've praised Him for loving me just the way I am. I still climb up in His lap. He's always there with His arms open waiting for me. We've been through some times that a lot of people would say, well, there's no hope. But we know through the prayers of our family here that we have Bob with us today. Only through God. Oh, praise You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. You know, the hard times only bring us closer to the Lord. There's no doubt in our mind who brings us through these bad times. And life is always better after that. We're always so blessed after every hardship. We're always closer to Him. Oh, Lord, how we love You. How we thank You. Our move, giving up our home, yeah, it was hard. Our family, you know, used to gather. But you know, we listen to the Lord. We know that we've done what the Lord wants us to do. Yes, we moved into independent living in a very small area. But that didn't increase God's size. We wake up in the mornings and we thank Him that we have this place that He has guided us to. That He's kept us healthy enough to come back to our family here. And we know that He will as long as He wants us to be here. We know that we have a mission where we're living. We've already picked up on some of them. You know, He'll use you if you'll just allow Him to, no matter where you are. And sometimes it's in ways that you least expect it. Bob plays pool with two kids. I say kids. They're younger than him. And they needed his touch. The touch that he brings from our Savior and our Lord. And we know that He's going to use us every day that we get up. We give Him praise and glory. We dedicate ourselves to Him every day to use us in any way He sees fit. But we're just so thankful that He never did give up on us. You know, we're not perfect. We've had times that we walked away, but He pulled us back. And we thank You for all the support and the love and the prayers that y'all have always given us. You are our family, and we love every one of y'all so much.
I think of when the Lord says, when we leave this world, we're precious in His sight. Y'all are so precious in our sight. We love y'all so much. And God willing, we're going to be here a lot longer with you. Thank you. We love y'all.
Really and truly, I don't need this microphone. I could put it down and y'all could hear me at the back. But if people don't believe, and we have people here, not the other, but what we have here, 1804 Avenue P. There's always been an overflowing of love for each other, of the people. I think of Drew. Most of all, I think about Brother Roy and Sandra, how much they care for each one of y'all. But we've had things happen to us, and I've had so many blessings, like Bobby brought her into my life, and the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren, and when we all get together with the marriage and things, there's about 160 of us. And sometime here, we never have that big crowd here at the church, but they all have lived a good life, and if they wasn't our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and they're good people. And Bobby and I care for each one of y'all. Most of all, you're all good people. And if the Lord don't come, we still have a lot to look forward to. We talk about in John 14, I'm going over. But I'm for you. And I just thank you all for the prayers. I thank you for have a prayer worker. She's like that Catherine Kuhlman up in the Midwest. Make the hair stand up on the back of your head when she prays. But no matter what happens, sometimes life's not fair, but the God we serve is good. And I thank you all for the love and kindness and the prayers for us. And we're just getting started here. Lord, we still got a lot of young people. Jan's children and Janet's children. And, Lord, we've had, a 1,500 people we've passed here in and out of Victory Baptist or the old Plano Missionary Baptist Church. But I just thank God for Jesus. And I thank you that how much He loves us and cares for us. And no matter what we do, He still forgives us and He loves us. And if anything happens in your life that you think that you've got the short hand, He knew 31 years. But they put Him on that cross and He was dead, and three days later He came back. And if that's not true, Lord, just set me out in front of the house today and say, hey. But that it's true. And we thank y'all for your kindness. Thank you for your love. And most of all, we want to thank you guys that we all serve the same Jesus. He is our blessed hope.
Miss an opportunity to praise God and to thank Him for an awesome, awesome
Vacation Bible School. That was the theme of this week. Awesome God, awesome power. And we saw his awesome power demonstrated in so many ways. You know, this year we didn't have the help of some of the other churches as we've had in the past. And I know we probably thought, oh man, how are we going to do it? But I saw the power of God demonstrated in our youth who come forward and put together this worship team that led such awesome worship as Jan testified. It was incredible to see not only the young men, the young women of the worship team lead this group of young people in song, and to sit in the back and look forward and see the hands raised of all these little children singing these songs. And those songs just kind of stuck in your head. And it was going on all week. I thank God for giving me the time to be able to spend with him, to prepare, to share his awesomeness to all these young people. And then Friday night, when I heard the report of all those who had come to faith in him, it's worth it. It's worth every minute of it. And I thank him for being in our midst throughout the week of Vacation Bible School. I thank him for being in our midst here. And I pray, if there's something tugging at your heart's door, listen. Listen. Respond to that tugging. That's Jesus speaking to you, calling out to you. He wants to come into your heart and be a part of your life. But he's not going to come in unless we invite him. Thank you, God, for being so good to us, blessing us beyond what we could ever imagine. Thank you for Jesus. Amen.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.